Israel, Am in Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations
present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Miracle Maker by Mildred Vermont, is presented in observance of Brotherhood Week and is one program in this Eternal Light series dedicated to the ideals which govern the relationships between man and man.
Between man and man, there is a force, call it honor, call it compassion or moral decency, which from time to time in human experience rises up with eloquence to confound a people at war, a city segmented by rivalries, a generation divided against itself. Once, in my youth, in the same Germany that begot Adolf Hitler and Adolf Eichmann, I, a journalist and a Jew, knew a man reared in another faith, a Christian minister, in whom this force sprang to life with passion and power so sweeping, so immense, that he became one of the legends of our time. I am waiting for him now. The year is 1961. It is spring in Jerusalem. This is a day in the drama of humanity versus Adolf Eichmann. What will you say, prisoner, when he stands before you again? The man who fought you single-handed in the long, dark night of ravaging. Listen, and you will hear the voices of other men who knew him in the wilderness of sorrow that was your kingdom in the middle years of the 20th century. Heinrich Gruber, Dean of St. Mary's Evangelical Church in West Berlin, befriender of the persecuted.
He saved my life.
He saved my life.
He saved my life.
Pastor Gruber, it is good of you to be willing to see me for a few moments before you take the witness stand.
Your letter moved me deeply, Mr.
Richter, Stefan Richter.
My name would have no significance to you, but we have met before.
Forgive me. I am touched that you have made the journey from America simply to tell my story. You're not covering the trial itself?
My colleagues can report these events better than I, with less emotions.
I understand. You must have been very young when our paths crossed.
I was 15. One of the first of the Jewish children you smuggled out of Berlin. You do not remember, Pastor. How can you? But none of us ever forgot you.
We had a name for you in that dark time. Some of us, for whom you were the single, stark hope in a stricken world. We called you the Miracle Maker. He was the maker of miracles, a humble preacher, driven by a madness of his own. One man against a hurricane. A German who, in the time of the world's sleeping conscience, in the homeland of the new master race, held a curious belief. There are no differences in human flesh. There is only humanity.
Stefan, I think you understand everything now. Are you ready?
Pastor, it's no use. Give me up. I'm not afraid. They'll kill you for sheltering a Jew.
Listen to me, Stefan. Listen carefully. At midnight, a medical supply truck leaves Berlin for the border. You understand what I'm telling you? Now go and get ready. God be with you.
God is with me, and you are with me. Who else, Pastor Gruber? Who else in this city of sadists and spies, in this time of madness? You think the SS does not know who I am? A boy who filled the school journals with anti-Nazi blasts? Oh, give me up, Pastor. People like me die in the Third Reich, or they're tortured into silence like my father.
When you reach the border, Stefan, you will be hidden and helped. And hidden and helped again until you find your way to England. There are not many of us left in Germany, but elsewhere all over Europe, across the cities of Denmark and Belgium and France, in Holland, where my own ancestors once lived, mercy is not yet drained from the hearts of men. There are still Christians whose spirit is shamed by the nightmare that's overtaken their neighbors. They're lifting up the exiles. They're gathering in the children. They will not betray you.
Pastor, if ever this madness ends, if ever it is possible for Jews, for any of us whom you have saved, to live again with purpose and dignity, I will find you. I will tell your story to the world.
Where does it spring from? The stubbornness, the dedication, the need to lift up the failing, to succor the wounded, to shelter the lost and the doomed. Students of human nature have found answers sometimes in the childhood of great and gifted men.
Mutti,
you're late. Did they keep you again after school? Heinrich, your coat, where is it?
I cannot tell you, Mutti.
Heinrich, answer me. I won't be angry. Did you lose your coat? Did someone take it?
I gave it away, Mutti.
You gave it away? You walked home in weather like this with nothing over you? You're a grown-up boy, Heinrich, almost 9. That's not a very clever thing to do. To whom did you give your coat?
His name is Franz. You have never seen him, Mutti, but he's a very nice boy. You would like him. His father is one of the glass blowers. And all winter long, the factory has been closed. I walked past his house, and Franz was playing in the street. And he was very cold. I put my coat on him.
Oh, I see.
Mutti, why is there not enough work for Franz's father? Why is their street so silent and dark?
Well, there's a great crisis in the Rhineland, little one. Thousands of children like Franz and thousands like his father are waiting. Some of those men will never work anymore. Even when industry comes to life again in Stolberg.
But they have done nothing wrong.
Oh, it's not always wrongdoing that brings sorrow upon an entire people. You will understand these things better when you're older.
Tomorrow I will bring food to Franz. Maybe Papa can ask the factory to take back the men who are waiting.
Take food to your friend, little one. But don't try to carry the burden of the entire Rhineland on your shoulders. You cannot be your brother's keeper, Heinrich Gruber.
One young heart flinging itself against a system. My brother's keeper. Where in the vast arenas of human need is the place to begin to reach out to the greatest number? In what service? As a teacher? As a minister of God?
You have done a remarkable job, Gruber, since you came to our parish. Who ever heard before the war of social welfare organized like this? A humble factory town like East Dortmund with services for the sick and the unemployed. They're talking about it in the other cities.
I want permission to move on, Reverend. I want to go to Berlin to work. I've been listening to the young workers coming back from the battlefield. I'm frightened at the hate in their hearts.
Gruber, what can you do? One man against a tide. We can all see what lies ahead. We are all troubled. Let us do the duty that lies closest to our own heart. Your parish is not the world. Your concern is not all Germany. It is here, with the workers of East Dortmund and their families.
Once, when I was a young teacher, I read a passage from the great English poet of the 17th century. Do you know these lines of John Donne, Reverend? Every man's death diminishes me.
Because I am involved in mankind. All right, Gruber, go to Berlin. Perhaps your parish is the world.
Tell the story of Heinrich Gruber. Tell it in the language of sound. The sound of the Holocaust taking shape across the continent of Europe. The low rumbling of the hurricane to come. The small indignities. The Jewish shops despoiled in the bright
cities of Germany. The school children put to shame. The seething in the houses of government. The day of triumph of an Austrian paper hanger. The power of the first yellow badges upon the arms of free men.
I tell you, elders of the Confessing Church, in this spring of 1933, that unless we, as Christians, assume responsibility for the fate of our Jewish neighbors, we shall be as guilty in the eyes of God as those whose crimes we denounce. There is taking form before our eyes an outrage against the living spirit of Christian morality which can only end in disaster for all of us.
We are in time of crisis and change.
The church cannot afford to
it is a
with
temporary
politics.
Madness.
My friend,
it will not
my friends, hear me. As surely as the synagogues burn, so one day the churches, if they be silent, will no longer be churches of God, but instruments of the devil. I propose to set up a bureau in the middle of Berlin for the rescue of victims of persecution, no matter who they are, no matter what their name or faith or color or dedication. Will you help me?
Office Gruber, they called it.
Synonym of hope. Lines forming outside a small building in Berlin day after day. Lines reaching out from Office Gruber, secret lines across the still free cities of Europe, through the labyrinths of the underground, from man to man, from heart to living heart. And at the core of it, one man, one relentless man, driven by what personal God intoxication, by what God-given destiny.
Herr Eichmann will see you now, Pastor Gruber.
Stand before me, please. Now, Gruber, tell me something. Your persistence interests me as a phenomenon. Why do you martyr yourself for these Jews who will thank you? Is there perhaps some Jewish blood in your veins?
As a Christian, I cannot recognize a distinction based on blood.
I warn you, Gruber. You will go along with your protégés to Auschwitz or Dachau. I will make room for you personally. There is always room in these hostelries, Pastor. We find it more hygienic that way.
Do you remember the tale of the road that led from Jerusalem to Jericho? A Jew lay beaten and despoiled once, long ago, by the wayside, And the man alien to him and to his faith came by chance along that road and stopped and gave succor to the stranger. We have been commanded, all of us, go thou and do likewise.
We will solve the Jewish problem in spite of that, my 20th century Samaritan. Get out, Gruber.
In the railroad yard at Stettin, Herr Eichmann, there are 10 cattle cars. 300 men, women, and children are herded together in each of them. Tonight they leave for the East. Unless you countermand the order to the commanding general. I implore you, Herr Eichmann.
Some of these people are scheduled to go to our laboratories, Gruber. Think of the service we are performing to the German nation. Surely you are concerned with the advancement of science in our country? Get him out of here!
You brother! You're lucky we do not stop you here with our own hands!
No shred of manhood left anywhere! No mercy! What has happened to my people?
Swine!
The cattle cars departed for the East, and war engulfed all the continent and all mankind. And the sorrow of the Jews of Europe became shrouded in the thunder of voices rising from the charnel houses and the shattered cities of a new world war. British voices, American voices, blending now with the 6 million. And the conscience of the world, which had not wanted to link itself with the fate of a single people, became suddenly a vast network of sorrow. And no man was an island.
You, Gruber, have I not ordered you out of this office for the last time? The answer, whatever it is you have come to demand of me this time, is no. If it is one of my orders you seek to interfere with, no. I'm tired of your tales of agony.
While there is breath in my body, Herr Eichmann, I can still try to stir in you a spark of mercy. In the open fields beyond the town, a handful of men and women have been set down by your order in the cold, Herr Eichmann. In the dead cold of this winter night. What their crimes are, they do not know. Nor do you, nor do I. There is a woman among them who will bear a child at any moment, and she is without shelter. Allow me safe transport for these people, or for the woman.
Listen to me, Pastor. Your activities are running counter to the national interest. These people are swine. Close your office. Go back to your church duties. Preach to the congregation that is left to you while they last. While you last, Herr Gruber. Larger things are at stake in Germany than the lives of a few godforsaken Jews. I hope you will live to witness the glories of our national destiny.
In the course of my lifetime, I have preached love between man and man. I have looked into the eyes of many strangers and found a light that kindled us into one fellowship, if only for an instant. I have never hated any living being. But here I fail. In your presence, Herr Eichmann, I acknowledge that I have failed as a human being and a minister of God.
And that I am a man devoid of soul, a block of ice, a product rare in the chronology of men, a man without human weakness.
That can't be true, Herr Eichmann. Grant us one request.
No. The answer is no.
Open up! Harry Gruber, you are under arrest.
Father, thy will be done.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Paternoster,
thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Sanctificator nomen tuum.
And does it matter now whether it is Heinrich Gruber or the rabbi beside him in the death house of Dachau who chants these lines? Does it matter whether these men are 700 priests awaiting execution for the sin of their identity or 700 Jews? In a godless night, the churches are burning with the synagogues. All are one now. But there was another kind of force taking form across a blackened world. Call it fury, call it a miracle. Call it by any of the names that history gives to the victory of the right over the damned. Out of the decimated cities of a continent, out of the darkened heart of mankind, a new sound, a symphony of disbelief and the cries of the liberators mingling with the cries of men who had forgotten how to hope. And it was evening, and it was morning, and there was the beginning of light.
Heinrich, you are opening office Gruber again. For whom? The Jews will not come back here. Have you not had enough? You are not a young man anymore.
Some will come back, my dear. Office Gruber has to help them. We must find families and restore them to each other. And restore all that has been taken from them. The guilt is ours. So must be the restitution.
And you think it is a good thing that they should stay in Germany?
If that is what they want. Let them prosper here. Let them stay until one day they have a homeland of their own. Let them be a reminder to our people of what happens when the soul of a nation is prostituted to evil men.
You were always a dreamer, Heinrich. A homeland of their own. If it has not happened in 2,000 years, it will not happen in our lifetime.
Who can foretell, my dear? They are a curious people, these children of Israel. A phoenix rises from their ashes over and over again throughout the dark history of their wanderings. It is possible that you and I will live to witness a great resurrection.
King Christian is ready to receive you now, Pastor Gruber.
Your Majesty, on this World Church Day, I am honored and humbled to be standing before you here in the great democracy of Denmark. I come not only as an emissary of the Congress of Refugees,
but as a self-appointed emissary of my homeland and as a Christian to Christians, to thank your people for the succor of the homeless and the persecuted in the long years of war. My shame and guilt is not easy to bear for what my people has done to mankind. Man alone cannot pardon what has been committed by men. And I do not ask that the free nations of the world forgive us. But I say to you that my generation bears a responsibility and a task to acknowledge the evil that Germany has wrought across the world and to atone for that evil.
Pastor Gruber, may God bless you and your great mission of brotherhood. And may you carry on this work for many fruitful and honorable years to come.
It is June 1958. Into the earth of Berlin is set the foundation stone of a home for aged men and women who have been the victims of human fury. Heinrich Gruber Haus, a monument erected upon ashes.
We dedicate ourselves, we of the Evangelical Office, to fight from this day forth against all racial hate and every throwback to the barbarity of past times. We swear to resist every attempt, wherever and however it may appear, to defame and destroy human beings because of their origin, faith, or color. We declare that genocide is a sin against God, now and for all time to come.
Pastor.
In a few moments, you must enter the courtroom. What you say on the witness stand today will be recorded by the press of the entire world. What you and I have talked about, I will make known also in my own way, as I promised you long ago, when you thought it worthwhile to risk your life so that one Jewish boy might live.
Tell your friends, Stefan, when you write your story, that what is more important than Pastor Gruber is the common hope we must share now under God. All of us who have been through a dark time together. And tell them this. It is still possible that we shall see great miracles between man and man. Goodbye, Stefan Richter.
I call to the stand the Reverend Dr. Heinrich Gruber, Dean of St. Mary's Evangelical Church in West Berlin. Witness for the prosecution.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Abraham J. Klausner, Rabbi of Temple Emmanuel, Yonkers, New York, who organized the Central Committee of Liberated Jews in Germany following the war. Dr. Klausner.
I returned recently from a first visit to Germany since 1945, when I entered that country by way of the Dachau concentration camp. My return visit was urged by a desire to visit with my children. I had four children. They were not actually mine, but I think of them as such because I was privileged to play a part in their dramatic return to their parents following the war years. Of the four, Sakiki, the first of them, is dead. I remember well the day a stranger stood before me. He was tall and erect, and appeared much taller than he was because the sleeves of his jacket and the legs of his trousers were much too short for his limbs. He pointed to a page in a book which I had published, listing the survivors of the camps, and said, "I believe I have this man's child." But three of my children are alive and happy. Barbara, now grown into an exciting and charming young lady, was saved by the nuns of a church in Poland. I traveled with her across the German roads I knew so well, and hoped with her that the ugly places of human destruction were wiped off the land, and with them the evil of man that brought them about. From Germany, I went to Israel, and on a Sabbath morning with Katya climbed Mount Carmel. I am happy, she said, with a beautiful smile lighting up her face. But there is still one thing that would make me even happier. What is that? I asked. And she said, I would like to bring Zesia, the Lithuanian woman who saved me from death, here to Israel, so that we might see each other once again. From Mount Carmel, I traveled to the stubborn wastes of the Negev Desert to meet my son, Sholom. He brought me a gift, a tomato grown in the salt marshes of the Negev. Traveling through the excitement of the building of a wasteland into a flourishing community, he asked me again and again to tell him of the people who played a part in his salvation. My children have taught me that among all nations and races there are those who, touched by the Spirit of God, sensitive to the anguish of men and women everywhere, strive to do that which is just and noble, and fashion through their sacrifices a link in the chain of brotherhood. There is every danger that in times of strife and tension we might come to think of brotherhood as an empty phrase and see men only as creatures of greed. In such a time, especially, men and women like Heinrich Gruber climb high onto the peaks of history and say to us, come, do come this way, towards the vision of brotherhood, for here there is joy and peace and a meaningfulness for life.
Thank you, Dr. Klausner. Our eternal light drama today, The Miracle Maker, written by Mildred Vermont, was presented in observance of Brotherhood Week and is one program in this Eternal Light series dedicated to the ideals which govern the relationships between man and man. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Wesley Addy, Kenneth Keeley, Connie Limbeck, Edwin Cooper, Leon Janney, James Dukas, Adele Ronson, and Sam Gray. Norman Rose was Stefan Richter. This is Vic Robey. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.